Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. In today's sermon titled, The Great Reset, Reverend David Williams tells us that we remain captive to doubt and fear, overlook the poor and hungry, are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, despise the weak, and abuse our planet. We must trust in the power of God to change our lives and make us new.
As we gather together on this Easter morning, gathering in the joyous promise of a life made new, of a life reborn in Christ, we come together as a people who admit and acknowledge that we are imperfect, that there are ways that we live that don't stand in the balance of God's grace and God's love. So today, on this morning, we come before God honestly and openly, admitting the ways we have fallen short and the ways we stand in need every day of that resurrection promise. So right now, let's pray together. Let's admit what we have done, praying the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak, and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust in your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. And now hear the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Luke's gospel. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along on page 90 of your pew New Testament. Let's now listen again for God's holy word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now that was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to the apostles an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We live in a highly complicated technological age, and being the man that I am, I like to pretend that I have amazing technological skills. I like to pretend that, because we increasingly seem to need those skills for almost everything we do. We have moved so far beyond that me rub stick make fire stage. Though honestly, anyone ever tried that? Has any of you ever tried to do that? It's not as easy as it looks. It really isn't. I'm not even good at making fire, honestly. But with our magic devil boxes now absolutely everywhere and doing absolutely everything, we find ourselves both amazed by their magical amazingness and a little bit fearful of what happens when they decide they don't want to work. How would we even find our way to Sugarloaf Mountain in the morning if we didn't have our nav system telling us exactly where it was? How would we survive even a moment? How would our relationships with those we care about last if we couldn't artfully share our morning bowl of Fruit Loops with them over Instagram? And honestly, this is a spring break week, and if anything at all had happened to our PlayStation 3 over this last week, I don't know what our house would have done. It could have been. And that's why it's unfortunate that I only sort of pretend to have technical skills. But I do have one skill. I'm a technical one-trick pony. And that trick is, if there's anything at all wrong with it, turn it off. And then wait a minute. And turn it back on. If my phone is acting up, I just hold down that button till it clicks off. And I count to 30, and I'm anxiously concerned during those 30 seconds that I'm missing an email or a text or a Facebook message or a tweet. You never know, something important. But 9 times out of 10, when I hit that button again and it spools its way up, it's fine. And the same thing works for our computer, and for our Wi-Fi router, and for the church Wi-Fi router. And it even works for our car. See, we drive one of them Toyota Priuses, or I guess the plural is Prii, and they are hybrid technological marvels. They're as complex internally as an Apollo space capsule, and yeah, it's not a Lamborghini Veneno or a full-kit apocalypse-ready Unimog. Google it when you're out of here. Really cool, awesome things. It would work around Poolsville, I'm telling you. No, the Prius is a perfect suburban transportation appliance. It is meticulously engineered for 99.9675% of our reality, so long as that reality doesn't involve snow. It's great for commuting and for errands and for laughing right past that gas station. Ha, ha, ha. But every now and again, for no apparent reason, the button that's supposed to turn the navigation system on decides that it wants to be the button that selects country and Western music on satellite radio. It has not yet decided that it wants to change our destination to Nashville, although I suspect at some point when we have one of those Google robot cars, we'll find ourselves with the doors locked on the way there with, I don't know, Jimmy Buffett playing. It'll be a wonderful trip. But we do have a fix for that problem. One possible fix would be to have a Toyota engineer spend 60 hours running a complex diagnostic assessment of both software and hardware on a car that's out of warranty. Or we could do what we do. We turn it off. We walk away for a while. And that does for the car what it does for all of our complicated but still not quite sentient machines. Shutting completely off returns them to their most essential state. It clears out whatever processes have gotten corrupted or fragmented or broken. For us, that is not usually an option. If we become corrupted or fragmented or broken, when you power us down completely, it's harder to turn us back on again. Harder to get those things fixed. Perhaps that's one of the reasons when we retell this great story of the resurrection every single Easter Sunday, we have so much trouble wrapping our heads around it. Really, really stepping past our past just seems impossible to us. How can we not be who we've been? It seems beyond us. It feels as impossible as that wild story must have seemed as it was brought breathlessly back to the disciples in Luke's retelling of this resurrection tale. Luke has been carrying us through this Lenten season, recounting his story of the journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. There is that moment of false triumph on Palm Sunday last week, as Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, but after that, everything goes rapidly south. There's betrayal, there's arrest. Jesus brought before every authority they can find, the authorities of the temple, and then the power of the occupying empire, and then the local puppet government. And each of those places was a place of power, but each was powerful but broken. Each had that strange power that comes with coercion, that strange power that makes things right by beating someone into their own broken version of rightness, just deepening the brokenness. Those powers were faced by this subversive rabbi who had himself no power, who refused to raise his hand in violence, who taught that violence was its own reward. Live by the sword, die by the sword. And they chose to use violence to destroy him. All those disciples, all those followers, and Luke tells us there were many who had placed their hopes in Jesus, watched their broken world get a little bit more broken. But today is not about that brokenness. We sang and told that story on Friday. And then the Sabbath Saturday passed. And then Luke brings us to the story we hear this morning. As a group of his disciples, women all, go to the place where Jesus has been buried. And Luke's story is filled with women, always mingled in and part of the crowd of disciples, even though that was very strange in the culture of the first century. Women then were not equals, and as not equals, they got stuck with the dirty work, dealing with the mess of birth and the mess of babies and the mess of death. And so it was the women who went bearing, Luke tells us, spices, or other translations read, perfume. And that's not because they were planning on a cookout. This isn't like spicy shawarma they were planning on making. It's not that they were going out there wearing Calvin Klein's Judean obsession. It was because they expected, when they encountered that place of death, they expected the smell of decay to fill the tomb. That they probably knew from experience. That was a culture that didn't hide death away. They knew that that was what it was like when we physically break. We stay broken. Our bodies fragment, our bodies fall apart. That's true for our souls, too. When we people break, we can stay broken. We can stay trapped in hurt, be consumed by anxiety, be rotted away by anger and bitterness until we dissolve into the dead stench of our own sorrows. That was familiar and human. That's what they expected. But when they encountered that tomb, they encountered the unexpected. They found the tomb was open. They found the stone was rolled away, and behind that stone there was not darkness and death. There was nothing. And then Luke tells us Suddenly there were two men there. He says two, because that's how many witnesses you need to confirm that something is real. And each of them were wearing, well, clothes, clothes that evoke in the women a strange response. They see the clothes and they are terrified. Now, I've been known to wear outfits on occasion that were terrifying. My wife can confirm that. Anyone who's seen me in here with white socks and dress shoes, white socks and sandals, it's... those are terrifying outfits, but that's not what makes these clothes so frightening. It is that they are radiant. They mark these men as not just men, but as an angelic presence, as otherworldly. And the men have a very simple message to convey to those women gathered at the tomb. Remember, they asked, do you remember what he told you? Do you remember the times Jesus gathered the disciples around and said that he was not about the power that the world knew, but that he was going to be something totally different? The world's power, the power of temple and Herod and empire, that only ever deepened darkness. And that was not what Jesus was there for. That was not what he was there to accomplish. Instead, he accepted all of that brokenness, everything the world had to offer. He took it all in until he was himself shattered by it. He took it as far as a human being can take it, to the place of death itself, and then beyond. On that Easter morning, and on this one, and on everyone, we tell ourselves this story to remind ourselves that in Jesus and through the life, he taught us through his example to live. Every single one of us, we are given the opportunity to turn our lives into something totally different. Every broken thing, every fragmented piece of mess that has set itself deep into us, those things don't have a hold on us. Those old patterns only have the power that we give them. They define us only as we allow them to define us. And Jesus says on Easter morning, you're not trapped there. And it's hard for us to believe it. We have our ways of viewing the world. We have our ways of viewing ourselves. We hear that report of the empty tomb. Something is happening. And like the disciples, as those women arrived, we just can't quite get around to accepting it. It's an idle tale. It's just dreaming. Rose-colored glasses, fantasy. And it is easy for us to fall into that way of being. To refuse the new, to close off that Easter possibility that things will change for the better. But Jesus does that for all of us in his teachings and in this story of a life taken all the way to death and then into a deeper and greater joy. Easter morning is our celebration of the great restart. On this day, we are reminded that we do not have to dwell in the darkness of our own tombs. We do not have to wander forever in the places of loss and bitterness that we've come to assume define us. The newness of Easter morning, the possibility of God's creation rests before us. And in Christ, in his resurrection, in his love, and in his promise, we have been set free to embrace it. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. We step out on this Easter morning into what might seem like the same world we left when we came in. But if we've heard that Easter message, we understand that we need to step out as a people who have been changed by it. whatever stone it is that rests upon you, that holds you back. This morning, that stone is rolled away. Whatever darkness it is that sets on your soul, know that that darkness is filled with light as that tomb was filled with light. On this Easter morning, we are to step out these doors as an Easter people, ready to embrace the newness of God's life, the joyous life of the kingdom that Jesus has offered us all. So walk out those doors as a people set free for that future. Walk towards it with your heart filled with Easter joy and promise. For he is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us for today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.